Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Undoubtedly, you had heard those words before. We brought nothing into this world, and we can surely take nothing out. But sometimes we forget that those words are actually from the Scriptures, from God's own word. And when we remember that those words come from His word, it should all the more remind us that all of the stuff that we have, all of the things that we try to accumulate in this life, we can't take any of it with us. Not that car that we saved up for, not the house that we lived in, not the clothes by the designers. None of those things will we be able to take with us into eternity. Moth and rust will devour all of those things long after we have departed this life. We brought nothing into this world, naked we entered it, naked we shall return. Not even the own clothes on our back are things that we can take with us. St. Paul will write to the young pastor Timothy, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Too often, money can get in the way of doing wonderful things. Too often, our pursuit of having stuff gets in the way. Our desire to give our children more stuff than we had makes us both work outside the home long hours and then paying someone else to raise our children. The desire to have more stuff means that we work longer hours, that we don't even get to enjoy as much time as your ancestors who had barely any money to spend with your own families. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's not that money or having things is evil in and of itself, but it's love, it's desire, that mammon, that craving to have those things, the point of not being content with what our Lord has actually given us, it is a root of all sorts of evil. Think about business deals that are made. Think about what our own government does because of money. Passing laws because of donors or lobbyists. All of these things are a reality, and it is driven by money. Again, money and your earthly possessions aren't evil in and of themselves, but the devil can use them as a tool to draw you away from the one thing that is needful, Jesus Christ. Certainly, if the Lord has blessed you with much, then He has given you that as a gift and a blessing. But too often, if we turn away from the giver of those things and focus rather on ourselves as being the giver of those things, we lose sight of God. It is not that a rich man cannot enter into heaven. That's not true. But having all that extra stuff makes it that much harder. Sometimes we can think that we are relying on ourselves. Look at how much I have done, as opposed to the person looking at what God has given. Now surely, we can use our money to extend to God's kingdom. We can give to all sorts of charity. We can give back to our church. We should found schools. We should run and operate places where children and people who are destitute, the widow and the fatherless, will receive Jesus Christ. That should be a focus for the church as it once was. The church operated the place not just for the soul, but for the body. The church raised up hospitals to care for people. The church raised up schools to teach children about Jesus. And now, because of money, many of those things have been taken away. We in the church should not be greedy like the fallen world. It makes sense that if you have nothing to look forward to in a life that follows this life, that you would build up things for yourself in this life. But not for you, O Christian, because this life is not all there is, and this life is but a small span in the part of eternity. Lay up for yourselves not treasures on this earth, but treasures in heaven, where neither rust or moth may destroy. Lead your children, your grandchildren, your community to Jesus. Lead them to Jesus so that they might hear it and live, that you will rejoice to see those faces in heaven as they rejoice around the throne of the Lamb. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. But you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight. Perhaps we think that fighting is wicked or evil. It is simply not true. It is important for us to have a fighting spirit, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the onslaught of the confession of who Jesus Christ is. The gates of hell, the world, cannot prevail against Jesus' victory over them. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Give the clear confession of who Jesus is, with your time, with your talents, with your money, and with your stuff. Give a proclamation of who Jesus is. That is the only thing that lasts for eternity. So as we take a look at the ways, the many, many and various ways that our Lord has blessed us, let us make sure that we return them to Him. Let us make sure that we use them to give Him glory. In our gospel lesson for this evening, this is St. Mark's telling of what we had in St. Matthew's gospel this past Sunday. We are reminded of the importance of faith, that it is only faith in Jesus Christ that can bring salvation. How is your prayer life? Do you pray only when you come to church, or do you find yourself on your knees if you're able to get back up in the morning, in the evening, throughout the day? Do you return to the Lord and give Him thanks and praise, or do you find yourself only coming to Him when you need something? Our Lord stands ready to hear your prayers because He loves you. Pray to Him. Pray to Him and believe that He will actually do it. It is important then, as forgiven and baptized children of God, that we freely forgive others as well. The grudges that we hold do not hurt the other person, they hurt ourselves. And even more importantly than that, they call into question our own forgiveness and salvation. There's a reason we sang Martin Luther's Lord's Prayer hymn, because it reminds us that we are to forgive others their trespasses if we expect God to forgive us our own. Jesus reiterates this. This is Mark's retelling of what is written in Matthew. But He says, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. When we refuse to forgive others, for as small a trespass as it is in the grand scheme of things, and I know that it might be great in our minds, but once again, if our Heavenly Father can look at us and look at all of the ways that we have sinned against Him in thought, word, and deed, and still send His Son to suffer and die in our stead and wash over us, then surely we should be able to forgive others too. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive the grudge, the pain, the lack of forgiveness needs to be let go if the person does repent. If the person confesses their sin, then you should give them the forgiveness, because Jesus Christ has died for them too. As I mentioned on Sunday, even though it's not in this text, I'll mention it again. For those who refuse to repent, that is a different story. For the refusal to repent is to not believe that Jesus actually died to take away your sins, because you do not believe that you are a sinner to begin with. Forgiveness comes via repentance, confession. A person who refuses to repent and confess is a person who is to be treated as a heathen and a tax collector, as we read from Matthew 18. But for the person who comes before you and confesses his sin to you, the way that he or she has wronged you, forgive him from your heart. Jesus has died for you, and Jesus has died for him. Believe that. As our Lord loves us and forgives us, love and forgive one another. The church sings, "Forgive our sins, Lord, we implore, that they may trouble us no more. We too will gladly those forgive who hurt us by the way they live. Help us in our community to serve each other willingly. Amen." The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.